A discovery about old Mr. Toad. It was a beautiful spring evening. Over back of the Purple Hills, to which Old Mother West Wind had taken her children, the Merry Little Breezes, and behind which jolly, round, red Mr. Sun had gone to bed, there was still a faint, clear night. But over the green meadows and the smiling pool, the shadows had drawn a curtain of soft dusk, which in the green forest became black. The little stars looked down from the sky and twinkled just to see their reflections twinkle back at them from the smiling pool. And there and all around it was perfect peace. Jerry Muskrat swam back and forth, making little silver lines on the surface of the smiling pool and squeaking contentedly, for it was the hour which he loves best. Little Friend, the song sparrow, had tucked his head under his wing and gone to sleep among the alders along the Laughing Brook, and Redwing, the blackbird, had done the same thing among the bulrushes. All the feathered songsters, who had made joyous the bright day, had gone to bed. But this did not mean that the glad spring chorus was silent. Oh my, no, no indeed. The green meadows were silent, and the green forest was silent. But as if to make up for this, the sweet singers of the Smiling Pool, the Hylas and the Frogs, and old Mr. Toad were pouring out their gladness as if they had not been singing most of the departed day. You see, it was the hour they loved best of all, the hour which seems to them just made for singing. And they were doing their best to tell old Mother Nature how they love her, and how glad they were that she had brought back sweet Mistress Spring to waken them from their long sleep. It was so peaceful and beautiful there that it didn't seem possible that danger of any kind could be lurking near. But old Mr. Toad, swelling out that queer music bag in his throat and singing with all his might, was the first to see what looked like nothing so much as a little detached bit of the blackness of the green forest floating out towards the smiling pool. Instantly, he stopped singing. Now that was a signal. When he stopped singing, his nearest neighbor stopped singing. Then the next one and the next. And in a minute, there wasn't a sound from the smiling pool save the squeak of Jerry Muskrat hidden among the bulrushes. That great chorus stopped as abruptly as the electric lights go out when you press a button. Back and forth over the smiling pool, this way and that way, floated the shadow. But there was no sign of any living thing in the smiling pool. After a while, the shadow floated away over the green meadows without a sound.
"Hooty the Owl didn't get one of us that time," said old Mr. Toad to his nearest neighbor with a chuckle of satisfaction.
Then he swelled out his music bag and began to sing again. And at once, as abruptly as it had stopped, the great chorus began again as joyous as before, for nothing had happened to bring sadness, as might have, but for the watchfulness of old Mr. Toad.
"Why didn't you ever tell us before that you could sing?" Peter Rabbit asked one day, as old Mr. Toad looked up at him from the smiling pool.
"What was the use of wasting my breath?" demanded old Mr. Toad. "You wouldn't have believed me if I had."
Peter knew that this was true, and he couldn't find any answer ready. Old Mr. Toad filled out his queer music bag under his chin and began to sing again. Peter watched him. Now it just happened that old Mr. Toad was facing him, and so Peter looked down straight into his eyes. He never had looked into Mr. Toad's eyes before, and now he just stared and stared, for it came over him that those eyes were very beautiful indeed.
"Oh," he exclaimed, "what beautiful eyes you have."
"So I've been told before," replied old Mr. Toad. "My family always has had beautiful eyes. There is an old saying that every toad has jewels in his head, but of course he hasn't, not real jewels. It is just the beautiful eyes. Excuse me, Peter, but I'm needed in that chorus."
Old Mr. Toad once more swelled out his throat and began to sing. Peter watched him a while longer, then hopped away to the dear old briar patch, and he was very thoughtful.
Never again will I call anybody homely and ugly until I know all about him," said Peter, which was a very wise decision. Don't you think so?